very, very excited this morning because we have a word from the Lord. I believe it's a word that will minister to you. Wherever you're watching from, I want you to be engaged. I want you to put some comments so that we know that the word is coming through. If something hits your heart, I want you to say amen to it. I want you to comment. And by so doing, we are able to be together and we'll be celebrating this powerful, powerful word. Let's pray for the word. Father of glory, we thank you this morning for the preaching of the word. Father, we humble ourselves and we pray that you'd speak to us today. I pray for the entrance of your word. I pray that it brings wisdom, it brings understanding, it brings revelation. We thank you that you are with us today and you want to speak to us as your children. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. All right, I don't know where you've been in the past 4 weeks. If you haven't been with us and you're joining us for the first time, you're catching us in the middle or towards the tail end of a series that we've been going through for the past 4 weeks. And this morning, we are raising the temple. This morning, we are raising the temple. I want to deal with some practical aspects of the series that we've been talking about. We've been talking about destined to overcome. Destined to overcome. You see, Jesus came and he died on the cross. And the victory that he got for us is positionally available to you and I. I want to say this to you this morning. The victory that Jesus got for you on the cross is positionally available to every believer. What do I mean by that? Positionally, the Bible says we are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Okay? Positionally. But you are here physically. I can see you. I can see you with my naked eyes. But the Bible says positionally we are seated together with Christ. Positionally, the Bible says we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. What that means is that you are a carrier of the blessing of God. Positionally, you are more than a conqueror. Okay? Positionally, you are above and not beneath. Positionally, you are healed. Positionally, you died with Christ and you rose with him on the third day. Positionally, you are an overcomer. But the question that we have and we grapple with every single day is this: how come my life in reality has a different picture? How come when I look at my life, it doesn't look like I am more than a conqueror? It doesn't look like I'm destined to overcome. Now, this morning, this is what we're going to be talking about. I want you to realize that your faith in God should prompt you to behave in a certain way. Your faith in God should prompt you to behave in a certain way. James, the apostle, the brother of Jesus, had a go at the believers at the time when he told them that if their faith was not accompanied with some actions, that faith is basically dead. And this is what he said in James 2, verse 14. My brothers, what profit is it if a man says he has faith and does not have works? If a man says, I go to church, but there are no works. If a man says, I read the Bible, but there are no works. Can faith save him? Faith without works. Verse 19. You believe that there is one God. Ah, yes, you do well. But wait a moment. Even demons believe. And they tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? I believe that we're supposed to be better than demons. Demons believe. Demons tremble. Demons are not atheists in nature. Demons believe that there's a living God. They believe there's a power in the name of Jesus. The problem with demons is after they know that he's a powerful God, they still go on and do their evil things. That's the issue about demonic powers. And the apostle James was saying, there's got to be a difference between you and those fallen angels. Now, this brings me to the subject of my teaching this morning. I want to talk to you about 9 habits of an overcomer. I want to talk about 9 habits of an overcomer. Don't switch off now. I'm not going to cover all 9 now. Okay? I know somebody was like, we are here for 24 hours. No, got you. 9 habits of an overcomer. When I was sharing with my wife what I was going to teach, she said to me, are you going to cover all those 9 in one sitting? And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm way older to do things like that. Okay. So 9 habits an overcomer does. 9 habits that you see in the life of an overcomer. You see, there are things that overcomers do. And these things position them to rightly appropriate the victory that Jesus got for them. There are habits that can qualify one from walking in victory. This is not about works, okay? But it's about principles. The kingdom of God operates with principles. Every kingdom operates on a certain principle. Now, I've come to realize that in life, you choose to live in a certain way. And when you follow through your choice long enough, it becomes a habit. You make a choice to live in a particular way. You make a choice to respond to people who are not like you. You make a choice to think in a certain pattern. When you live long enough in living out that choice, it becomes a habit. When a habit is ingrained in your life, it becomes a lifestyle. And you are stuck in a lifestyle. When you look at your life today, you are a byproduct of your choices. You are a byproduct of your habits. You are a byproduct of your lifestyle. Now, put this down. An overcomer has habits that give her access to the victory that is found in Jesus. An overcomer has habits that give her access to the victory that is found in Jesus. There are things that this girl does that gives her access to the victory. This girl creates an atmosphere, an environment that is conducive for Jesus to step into her situation. It is like a plant. When you have a plant that is planted in a place that is fertile, that plant will produce the right fruit. That plant will be very fruitful. And therefore, I'm saying to us this morning, your habits create an environment that either enables you to be fruitful or to be barren. Come on now, somebody. Think about your environment that you have created in your house. What type of environment have you created in your home? Is it a spiritual environment that enables the Holy Spirit to come and infuse the presence of God when you are asleep? Or it enables an environment where demonic forces come in and they terrorize your children when they are asleep? Hello, somebody. I'm talking about habits that gives you access to the victory that is found in Jesus. For instance, the Bible says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. It's like a chase game. You make a move, the other person makes a move. You stop making a move, the other person cannot move until you make a move. And heaven is waiting for you, because heaven made the first move by sending the Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. So when you make a move in your walk with God, He makes a move in response. Because He made the move already when He sent His only Son to die on the cross. You see, when your habits render you an enemy of the cross, you cannot benefit from the cross. There are certain habits that by default, they make us to be enemies of the very cross that we are meant to propagate and to bring life to other people. When I become an enemy of the cross, I will not be able to benefit from what the cross got for me. Does that make sense this morning? Now, 1 John 5 verse 4, that has been our anchor scripture. The Bible says, for everything that has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. I'm sure after this series, you will recite that verse from back to front, from front to back, because it would have been ingrained in your spirit, man. This is a victory that we have, even our faith, even our faith. Habit number one. Habit number one. An overcomer has a habit of walking by faith. That was our subject matter last week. An overcomer has a habit of walking by faith. And this is the victory that we have, even our faith. Now you need to realize that faith is a bridge that connects your situation with the victory that is found in Jesus. I want you to realize that if your habit is to walk by faith, your default is faith. It means that when things happen in your life, you don't walk by sight, you walk by faith. That's the habit of an overcomer. This overcomer understands that the just shall live by faith. When a child is sick in the house of an overcomer, the first port of call is faith. It's not the dispensary. Hello, somebody. It's not the pharmaceutical place. It's not the Medipark down the road. The default and the position of this child is faith. When a student is facing exams, her default is faith. That I carry the spirit of wisdom. And therefore, as I study, as I read, I have the mind of Christ. This student is not shaken, even if she's facing so many exams in front of her. What's the issue here? Her default is faith. This person is not moved by natural circumstances. Their default is to speak life into their situation. We need people like this, even in our environment of this pandemic, where everything that used to be certain, the stock market used to be certain, our equities used to be working. You know, we knew this is our return from our Alan Gray investment. We knew that coronation will always give us a certain return, but right now, dololo, you've got to walk by faith. I want you to realize that when you have a habit of faith, you put pressure on the word until you get results. When you have a habit of faith, you look for opportunities to trust God. Maybe everything is well with you, and there's no pressure for you to step out in faith. You've got to create circumstances where you need faith. Hallelujah. I want you to realize this is what overcomers do. That is habit number one. And we have taken it from our anchor scripture. For the rest of our habits, the Lord led me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to camp in Romans chapter 12 as we look at these remaining eight habits of overcomers. Now, let me just give you a bit of your theological explanation. When you look at the whole book of Romans, it's really a theological book full of doctrinal truths that really anchor one's walk with Jesus. If you need to understand what Jesus did for you on the cross, if you need to understand the journey of grace, if you need to understand what it means walking in the Spirit, get into the book of Romans. That is what Paul was doing as he was writing to the Roman church. Now, from chapter 1 to chapter 11, Paul went into some great length to explain the victory that we got in Jesus Christ. He was telling the people of God that, you know what? You were buried with Christ. You were raised with Him. When Jesus came, He took your place. He was telling them there's no more condemnation if you are in Jesus Christ. He was telling them now, we are no longer living under the law of Moses, but we are now living under the new law that is called grace. He went on to explain around the concept of who we are in Jesus Christ. Now he comes to chapter 12. If you go to Romans 12 verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore. Sometimes we read scriptures and we don't understand the context. Whenever you see the word therefore, it simply means in light of what I have been talking about. Or with in your mind what I've been talking about, this is the implication. In the context of the grace of our Lord Jesus, in the context of the death of Jesus Christ, this is the implication of your life. This is how you ought to live your life. He therefore says, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Habit number two. An overcomer voluntarily submits to God. That's a habit that you find in the life of an overcomer. Where Paul is saying here, I implore you, I encourage you, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God, I plead with you that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Child of God, if you cannot exercise this habit of submitting yourself to God, you might not be able to walk in victory. It remains a positional thing. Now, Paul says, if you are to experience the finished works of Calvary, if you are to be victorious in your walk with God, he needs all of you. You've got to submit voluntarily. God cannot work with what he does not have access to. Come on now. God cannot work with what he has no access to. Is your heart broken? You've got to give him all the pieces and you'll be able to put it back together. Many people think, well, I exercise that habit. I've given myself to Jesus. Now let's explore a little bit what this means. What is the implications of this habit? How does it affect my life? How does it impact my behavior? How does it change everything about me? And why was Paul so concerned by saying, I plead with you, I beg you, I implore you, give yourself. It means that submission does not come easy. It does not come automatically to a human being because we are prone to be self-centered. We find it uncomfortable submitting ourselves to somebody else. We find it difficult to submit to authority. That is why in our churches, when pastors give out an instruction, it is very easy to hear somebody saying, who does he think he is? Submission is a problem. Now, what are the implications? Number one, you present yourself out of your own volition. It's voluntary. I want to ask you this morning, do you spend time in prayer voluntarily or you do that because your husband says, let's pray? Or you do that because the church has a program of prayer? This means that you are not forced. You choose to submit yourself unto God. He says, present yourself. And I want to ask you a question today. What you're doing right now, is it voluntary? Loving on people, is it voluntary? Or it's just that it's a popular thing to do? The Bible talks about, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If you want to be his disciple, there is a place of demand over your life. The second thing is, he says here, give your bodies, your whole person. This is the key issue. Your whole person. This was in reference to the sacrifice in the Old Testament when they would bring the whole animal, and that whole animal, not broken, nothing missing, would be placed on the altar of sacrifice. And this is what Paul was saying to the Roman church. God wants everything about you. You see, the habit of submission means you present your entire person to the service of God. And God is looking for complete submission to his ways. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Is there an area in your life that is not fully submitted to God? Is there a behavior in your life that you are not comfortable to let go of? Is there a thinking pattern in your life that you are not prepared to let go? Because it makes you feel comfortable. And this is the whole point. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, you present your faculties. You see, we need to make covenant with our eyes to say, I will not see certain things because these are instruments of righteousness. We need to make a covenant with our hands and say, my hands will not touch certain things because they are instruments of righteousness. We need to make a covenant with our mouths and say, my mouth will not utter certain words because this is an instrument of righteousness. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. If I am to walk in victory, I need to submit my mouth unto Jesus. If I am to walk in victory, I need to submit my soul, that is my emotions, my intellect, my willpower before him. Glory be to God. So that at the end of the day, I'm able to say, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Does somebody hear me this morning? We are talking about habits of overcomers. Overcomers understand that this body wants its own way. But I will not allow this body to have its way. I will submit it before God. He says here, offer your bodies as a sacrifice. As a sacrifice. You see, a sacrifice dies when it is on the altar. When you submit yourself to God, you die to self. You release all claim to yourself into the hands of God. You say, unto you I surrender. I give everything, Lord. If you want to have access to me in the middle of the night, I allow you to have access to me. If you want to have access to me for the coming week in prayer and fasting, you will have access to me. Lord, I don't feel like doing this, but I'm a sacrifice and I will do it. Do you think that we enjoy coming here and preaching and serving every Sunday morning? No, we understand that we are living sacrifices. There is something that happens to an overcomer who understands the concept of submission, who understands the concept of surrender. Do you know that when you are a sacrifice, you are able to let go when there are fights at home? You will say, for the sake of peace, I will let it go. Sacrifice. Many people are too alive to become a sacrifice on the altar. Many people are too alert to their own feelings. That it is not possible to get to this level. That is why I said, before you say, I am submitted, let's just dissect it a moment. You see, the submission I'm talking about results in a life of consecration. Consecration, when you say, I set myself apart for my God. I set myself apart for my marriage. I set myself apart for my family. This is where it takes us to. The habit of submission means that you do it even when it is uncomfortable. How many times do we have to bite our tongue in order not to say certain words? Sacrifice. And Paul says it has to be a living sacrifice. What's an oxymoron here? A living sacrifice. Paul, what are you talking about? You're saying I must die, but at the same time I must be alive. There are things that you must be alive to. And there are things that you must be dead to. Hello, somebody. A living sacrifice knows what it's supposed to be dead to and what it's supposed to be alive to. He's talking about give your best. You have to give your best. When he's talking about living, he's talking about giving your best. He describes the sacrifice as living. He means that your submission calls for all your energies and resources. There are times where we allow certain things to serve God in our lives. we don't allow certain things to. There are people who say, it's okay, I'll go to church, but my finances won't go to church. Why? Because I used to be in a church where the pastor abused the offering. Are we allowing somebody else's sin to cause us to miss the very blessings of God for us? Living sacrifice. Why is the habit of submission so key to our overcoming? I want you to realize that anyone who is rightly submitted to God has access to God's delegated authority. When you submit to God, you have access to His authority. You have access to His divine power, and victory becomes a reality in your life. Look at James 4, verse 7. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Submit yourselves then to God, period. Then resist the devil and he will flee from you. Many people want the second part of this scripture that says resist the devil and he will flee from you. The reason why the devil flees from you is not because of you. It is because of the one you are submitted to. It is because of the authority that you carry that has been passed down to you because you have allowed yourself to be a partaker of the divine nature of God. Therefore, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You cannot have the next without exercising the latter. The former. You have to be submitted to God, and as you are submitted, so the dimension to which I am submitted to Jehovah determines the dimension to which the devil will run away from me. Remember the story of the sons of Sceva. Their father was a priest in the church, and they thought that the anointing can be transferred by relationship. They thought because we are sons of the high priest, therefore, by default, we are the anointed as well. They went to some demon-possessed man and they say, we cast you out in the name of Jesus that is preached by Paul. The demons look at them and they say, I cannot recognize you in the spirit. You have no authority in the spirit because you are not submitted to the one who gives authority. Paul we know, Jesus we know, but we're not. Who are you? This is the issue of believers, where we are not able to submit, but we want to walk in power. If you cannot submit to the one who has power, you cannot experience the delegated authority. And this is an answer to somebody's question this morning. Why have I not been operating in power? Why are my prayers so weak that I don't see results? The issue is you evoke the name of Jesus, but you are not submitted to the name of Jesus. The more you are submitted to the name of Jesus, the more you see results coming out of the name of Jesus. Sometimes we actually use the name of Jesus in vain because we are not walking in line with the name of Jesus, but we want results attached to the name of Jesus. Jesus says, up to now you haven't prayed in my name. You shall ask anything in my name and my Father in heaven will do it for you. The starting point is you are submitted to the name of Jesus. Habit number three. Habit number three. An overcomer constantly renews his or her mind. An overcomer has got control over what happens between these two ears. An overcomer has the ability to step back and to look at her thoughts and say, these thoughts are not thoughts of victory. An overcomer is able to step back and say, this thought, go back where you're coming from. You don't belong here. So this overcomer has a habit to re-look at her thought patterns. And in so doing, she's able to walk in victory. Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. Do not be aligned to this world. Do not be influenced by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, in order to prove by you what is that good and pleasing and perfect will of God. Did you take note of that? A renewed mind gives you access to what is good, what is pleasing, and what is perfect from God. That is what a renewed mind does to you. You see, your thoughts have a way of messing up with your achievements. Your thought patterns have a way of determining the end. The way you are thinking today, right now, determines how the year will end for you. Put this down. Every mindset has a source, and its source determines its impact on you. Every thought pattern, every mindset comes from somewhere. Every thought that you're having, even right now as I'm preaching, comes from somewhere. And the source of that thought determines its impact on you. I want you to think about that for a moment. When you have a thought in your mind and you dwell over it, you meditate over it day and night, before you know it, you act it. Because your thoughts have a way of influencing the way you behave. You see, your thoughts will always produce of their kind. You can never behave above your thought level. You can never behave in a good way if your thoughts are filled with bad ideas. Does somebody hear me this morning? And I'm saying, an overcomer has an habit. You see, an overcomer is very smart. An overcomer is alert. An overcomer does not allow thoughts to have their way. I want you to know that human beings are the only creation of God that has the ability to detach themselves from their thoughts. You are not your thoughts. You can stop certain thoughts. Mark 7, verse 20. Jesus was talking. And he says, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. And he goes into detail, explaining some of these thoughts. Sexual immorality. We commit sexual immorality in our thoughts first, before we commit the act outside. We commit murder in our thoughts before we murder somebody. Which means, when you look at people, some of them are murderers walking. Because they haven't acted out, they've already murdered this person in their thoughts. This happens quite a lot. So Jesus says, sexual immorality, theft. Before you commit that fraud outside, it would have happened in your heart. Before you commit that fraud outside, it would have happened in your mind. Which means there was an opportunity that you heard to stop it happening in your mind so that it doesn't come through on the outside. Be thou transformed by the renewal of your mind. Don't switch off now. I want you to think about the thoughts you've been entertaining. Jesus says here, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside, and they do what? They defile a person. There is something powerful about the brains and the mind that God gave us. God gave us an opportunity to make right before we act out certain things. Have you ever had certain dreams? And you wake up and you say, thank God it was only a dream. Thank God it was only a dream. Some of you need to be saying, thank God it was only a thought. Because you stopped the thought before you acted it out. And some thoughts you don't need to tell people, this is what I was thinking. It's just between you and God. You don't have to tell me, Mike, if I can really tell you what I thought about you the first time I met you, don't do that. Don't expose yourself to that level. You need to expose your thoughts to the Word of God. And when your thoughts are not aligning with the Word, allow your thoughts to turn towards the Word. Be thou transformed by the renewal of your mind. The world has a certain mindset. And this mindset is a defeated, leads to a defeated life. We are talking about destined to overcome. The world has a mindset. It has a way of thinking. But when you adopt a kingdom mindset, your whole life experiences transformation. Do you know that a lot of the problems we experience in our marriages is because of the thoughts we've harbored over time? When you go home, you have a certain thought about your wife, your spouse, your husband. You're thinking about this woman. And you're thinking about what you're going to say to her. And guess what? Your emotions are becoming negative and negative and negative. You walk through that door, you blow out. It all started in your mind. And I want to say to you, in the same way that you prepare yourself to go to work, prepare yourself to go back home. Put this down. An overcomer needs to constantly reprogram his mind in order to withstand the influence of the world. An overcomer needs to constantly reprogram his mind in order to withstand the influence of the world. The world will have influence on us. Why? Because it is a fallen world. The world wants you to think in a certain way concerning business deals. The world says the end justifies the mean. It doesn't matter even if people get murdered or they get injured along the way, as long as I get the results. The end justifies the means. That is what the world says. And I'm saying to you today, there is something that an overcomer does. An overcomer constantly reprograms her mind in order to withstand the influence of the world. Does somebody hear me this morning? Jesus had a certain mindset. I know what I'm teaching is not very popular, but it will help you if you get this into your spirit, man. Jesus had a certain mindset. Jesus was God. In other words, one can say he had the right to retain certain glories. But look at this, Philippians 2 verse 4. Do not let each man look upon his own things, but each man also on the things of others. For let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. What is this? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That was the mindset of Jesus, the mindset of humility, the mindset of thinking less of himself. And he says, let this mind be in you. And I want you to realize that your mindset influences your outward expression of your religion. Your mindset will either show forth your religion in a way that God is glorified, or in a way that people will say, if that is what it means to be a believer, I don't want it. An unrenewed mind will cause you to believe you are unworthy. An unrenewed mind will cause you to tell yourself, I am dirty. Who can love me? After all this has happened in my life, who can love me? Who can trust me? I am untrustworthy because of what I did. That's a defeated mindset. We need to be renewed in our minds. You see, you cannot allow your thoughts to run amok in your life. There is a time that we need to stop and say, this thought I won't allow you. In the name of Jesus, get out of my mind. Put this down. Overcomers are vigilant and they jealously guard their thoughts against the attacks of the enemy. You will know that this thought is not of God. But because it tickles our fleshly carnality, we entertain the thought long enough. But I want you to know that there are things that overcomers do. Overcomers are vigilant. Overcomers, they refuse to allow any thought to come into their minds. Do you know that you can take charge of your thoughts? Your thoughts about your church, your thoughts about your pastor, your thoughts about the anointing that is upon the church. The devil wants you out, and therefore he will start showing you he can't preach that well. The worship cannot do what I really want in a church. No. I want you to know that they are what we call fiery darts of the enemy. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. I'm now in Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God so that you are able to stand. Somebody needs to hear this morning. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4. As we round down this morning. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, pulling down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Every thought. I want you to know that you will not see strongholds walking around. The devil will not say, here's a stronghold, walk into it. No. The devil drops thoughts, imaginations that are contrary to the word of God. You dwell on them. Before you know it, they become a stronghold and you're tied in. That is why the Bible says here, bringing down, bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Is there a thought that is not obedient to Christ? You need to be alert to the thoughts you entertain in your mind. You need to be alert to the thoughts you entertain in your mind. It's a life of surrender. And Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's the litmus test of your thought patterns. Whatever is right, let's think about it. Whatever is pure, let's meditate on it. Whatever is lovely, let's dwell on it. Whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. As we finish this morning, I am reminded of a scripture where David says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my God and my Lord. I want to pray for you. 9 habits of an overcomer. And today we looked at faith. You need the habit of walking in faith. Secondly, we said you need to be submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. Lastly, we said you need a renewed mind. These are things that if you become them, victory will come your way in the name of Jesus. Father of glory, I've taught your word. I pray for your people this morning that you do something unique in their hearts. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we break every ungodly habit that has rendered them defeated. I pray for my brother, I pray for my sister this morning that they would embrace these habits. Lord, make them people of faith. Lord, make them people who are submitted to you. Lord, make them to be disciplined in their thought patterns. And I thank you, Father, that greater is He that is in them than he that is in the world. Father, may your name be glorified. Father, may your name be honored. We thank you for today. We thank you for this word. In the name of Jesus. And everybody say, Amen. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. We are so excited because next week we are meeting here. And I'm so looking forward to seeing all of you as we worship together. If you cannot join us physically, please continue joining us on Facebook, and the Lord will continue blessing you. So next week I'll do another portion of the 9 habits of overcomers. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord preserve you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.